Welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truths Podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful week. This weekend was bananas with the wild card weekend, and I'm just looking forward to this coming Monday when my Buckeyes are going to be going up against Notre Dame. I will hop into that a little bit closer to the date, but my name is Zay. I'm your host, the fantasy football fiend himself. I have my guys, BK Wins. Holla at the people.
Hey, y'all.
A young Vander, the fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the people, my guy.
What's going on out there?
So, remember, we are on YouTube. We love for you to listen. If you're listening, please follow, subscribe on whatever app you may be listening from. On YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's The Gospel STP. And we are also on Facebook, The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. With that being said, let's hop right in. There's a bunch going on as far as coaches are concerned. Coaches that are safe, a few that we didn't know would get let go, but did. There were some hot names out there. Does it kind of pour a little bit of cold water on them now that there's some veteran coaches who just got let go? There's a lot going on. Let's start in Dallas. We have McCarthy, who got fired. We have Deion Sanders, apparently, either about to interview, has interviewed. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. One of the quotes that he made is that the only way that he would see himself coming to the NFL ranks is if both of his sons were on a team. I don't know if that changes if you're given the opportunity to coach Dallas. What's going on in Dallas? What's your purview of what's going on here? How do we think it ends up working out? Is it Deion's job? Is McCarthy better off going somewhere else? Where? Like, let's dissect all of this. Vander, holler at us first.
Man, this job is not the highly coveted job that people may think. Of course, Dallas probably got the biggest fan base, really popular, the most valued team money-wise, but you got an owner that's standing over your shoulder. Deion Sanders, I think it sounds good, but Deion Sanders don't quite fit the bill, being that Jerry's not going to allow somebody more popular than him in this building, right? Also, I think this job eliminates guys like the Bill Belichicks of the world, the Dan Campbell style guys, those guys, like, because they want to come in and do their thing. Andy Reid is not Andy Reid in Dallas like he is in Kansas City. So whoever take this job is probably going to be a younger guy. Somebody probably just trying to get their feet wet, and somebody that Jerry, yes, man, per se. But as far as Deion, a lot has to happen for him to take that job, I think. And Dak Prescott will have to be traded, right? So that's one thing. But at this point, I don't know who it's going to be. It's probably going to be some either guy who never got a shot or some old cowboy, maybe Tony Romo.
Well, you know, they were saying that Jason Witten was in the running to be the head coach. Okay. So an old cowboy, to your point. What you got on that, BK?
Yeah, so a few things here. One, Jerry Jones is not going to allow anybody to outshine him. To Vander's point, it's going to be a yes man. I can't believe it took all these years to fire McCarthy. I mean, he has done less with more for years there. He's not even a competent NFL coach with the way he manages end of game or any part of the game situations for that matter. But he was a yes man. He did whatever he was told, and he stayed out of the radar and let Jerry Jones be Jerry Jones, which is why he got the long leash that he did. The Cowboys are in rebuilding. So the question is, who wants to take a team that lacks talent and doesn't really have a winning quarterback? They're going to have to do something with Dak, because he'll win games when he's healthy, whenever that is, in the regular season, but doesn't win playoff games. So that's not the answer. It's going to be some under-the-radar yes guy. Witten actually makes sense, because he'll do whatever he's told. So that would actually make sense, even though I don't know his qualifications, but as we found in other jobs, that doesn't seem to matter. So, yeah, it's not to Vander's other thing that Vander said that I agree with too. Is it really an appealing job other than it has the largest fan base? Like, who wants to go to inherit that shit show? Like, let's just be real about that.
Well, one thing that I think you guys may not necessarily be paying attention to. Yes, Jerry Jones does like to get his shine. But the one thing Jerry Jones likes to do more than get his shine is get his money. And don't think for a second he hasn't paid attention to the come up that has happened in Colorado. I wouldn't put it past him for a half of a sec. The fact that one of the first people he wanted to interview was Deion, and Deion has never coached in the NFL. What else is he bringing to the table other than his ability to bring more eyeballs to the situation? It's not experience. It's not going to be a quick turnaround. This isn't college. What else is he bringing to the table other than the ability to put more dollars in Jerry's pocket, just for him to be a thought?
That's where you're wrong. Because money, you're talking about money, he likes his money. The money is never going anywhere. This is the Dallas Cowboys. If they're 0-17, the stadium's packed. The jerseys are bought. Like, that's they're not going anywhere. So it don't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter what the record is. This is the biggest fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the highest. It's not going anywhere. So.
No, I didn't say they were going anywhere.
But what I'm saying,
don't think for a second that they got a coach like Deion. It doesn't affect the bottom line.
It doesn't add to the Dallas Cowboys' value.
Sure, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Absolutely, it does.
No, it doesn't. No, because
it does.
No, it does not. The Cowboys.
If you add another dollar, you add it. Trust and believe. If Deion Sanders is the head coach, you add more money. There is no way that they make the same amount of money as a team with him on there as they did with McCarthy. I guarantee you that.
Real quick,
there's a couple reasons why I disagree. One, there is nothing more important to Jerry Jones than his ego. That is priority 1, 2, and 3. There is nothing more important than his ego. The second thing is, I disagree with Deion not having experience. He's an all-time great in the NFL.
NFL experience, NFL coaching experience.
Hold on. But A, that's not what you said. And B, he is an all-time NFL great who's proven he can coach on the collegiate level, and he's a former Cowboy great. And so because of all that, yes, I agree he doesn't have NFL coaching experience, but he played a long time in the league, and he has head coaching experience. It's not like it's a Witten who has literally nothing other than he's a former Cowboy on his resume. Like, again, but the biggest part of my disagreement is Jerry Jones is all about himself and his ego. Nothing else matters. If you outshine him, you have
What are you disagreeing with? My premise is if Deion goes there, they make more money than they made this year. Everything that you just said indicates that they would, based on the fact that he's an all-time great, based on the fact that you've seen it at every stop that he's made. So just so we're on the same page, what you two are saying is if Deion Sanders became the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, they would make less money? Is that what you're telling me?
No, what I'm saying is if Deion Sanders goes there, the biggest, most popular star, it'll be Jimmy Johnson 2.0. The biggest star in Dallas, much like it was Jimmy Johnson, will be Deion Sanders, and Jerry Jones' ego won't allow it.
Jerry Jones is the one that reached out to him for an interview. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but Jerry's actions isn't in line with your thoughts. That's all I'm saying. And my only premise is the only reason that he would hire him is you're not boosting the team per se year one. Maybe something catches on in a year, year two, year three, but I don't see him just coming in and having the secret sauce in the NFL locker room to turn a team around. So I guess let me rephrase what I'm saying. if I am considering hiring this person specifically, what am I getting out of the deal other than the ability to increase the dollars in the beginning of the relationship? 3-4 years down the road, maybe we'll see what happens, but right now people aren't getting that much time. But all I'm saying is, if he's considering it, the only reason that I could think of would have to be the money. What other reason would he consider it?
Because he can use he's inexperienced as an NFL coach. He can use the inexperience as a tool to lean on Deion and be the guy that's over his shoulder again. Just like he hired Jason Garrett, right? He didn't have any NFL coaching experience. He's the head coach there. He got, because he want to have a guy that he likes. Deion likes him.
No. Okay. Well, if we're going with that premise, then you have to take away the Jerry isn't going to be the most glowing star, because Deion will be, because you are, they're much easier yes men to hire versus trying to get Deion to do it your way versus ever speaking his own mind.
It definitely ain't money. They can hire Joe from the concession stand and the seats is going to be packed. The jerseys are going
to be. I'm not talking about seats. The seats going to be packed every week regardless, but that's not the only means of income.
What
money? All I'm saying is you're going to make more money if Deion Sanders is your coach. Where? You are.
Where?
Everywhere.
No. I don't see that. This team is already, this is America's team. They're going to make money regardless. I don't think Deion brings extra money to what the Cowboys can't already achieve without him, is what I'm saying. He's not a hire for money. It's not like a Colorado team that won one game and nobody was thinking about it and you bring revenue to the city. It's not going to happen. I mean, it gets the fan base excited, but Jerry Jones can go out there and add 10 more bucks on each seat and people are going to pay it. But what I'm saying is Deion doesn't bring extra money. It's the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to make money regardless of whoever the coach is.
So they would make equal or less if Deion was the head coach, just so I understand. Okay. I disagree.
It doesn't matter who the coach is.
Okay.
In Dallas.
I disagree. There's always more money out there to be had, and he would bring it. Where do we think McCarthy is a good fit? Or do we think there's a good fit out there for him? BK, why don't you start us up?
I mean, look, everyone knows now my love of Mike McCarthy. I wouldn't trust him to run my high school team.
Wow.
But that being said, if I were to pick a job that makes sense for him, I would think it would be something like the Jaguars.
Okay.
It's a different conference than he's coached in. It's not the Packers or the Cowboys. It's the AFC. It's in a less competitive division because the Colts and the Titans are a work in progress. Obviously, the Texans are a force to deal with, but the rest is definitely surmountable pretty quickly. He has a quarterback that, while has plenty of opportunity, they have talent on defense and at the skill positions. And if he can somehow finesse Sunshine, aka Trevor Lawrence, into being somewhat competent, I equate it to becoming Sam Darnold 2.0, something serviceable, then it might be a situation where it's a fresh start in an easier division that it might work. Outside of Jacksonville, I don't really see a job that makes sense. The Raiders isn't going to work. The Saints isn't going to work. The Giants isn't going to work. I mean, it's already been in the division. It's not going to go to the Jets. I don't really see a pathway for him to go anywhere else.
I don't want to see him as let him knock him down a level. Let him go be an OC somewhere. I don't want to see him with another head coaching job when he hasn't done anything with the head coaching job that he came from. And if Doug Peterson can't get Trevor Lawrence to be great, and what the hell is McCarthy going to do, right? But that being said, I mean, maybe he'd be OC in Chicago and he'll coach up the young Caleb Williams or something. Or maybe he'll follow Aaron Rodgers somewhere or something, be an OC. But I don't want to see Mike McCarthy a head coach at all. I'm sorry. What has he done?
Amen.
I got to disagree a little bit. Only because we're talking about teams that don't win in the regular season or the postseason, that would be happy with just being a let's go from bad to okay to good, not great. That would be a step in the right direction for just about every team that is hiring a coach, right? If I'm Chicago and I can find me a coach that can win me 10 games a season, and I can do that for 4 years, I'm actually happy. My franchise is better off than it has been for quite some time. I know sometimes we want to look at who might be able to knock the ball out of the park, but for some of these teams, to use a baseball analogy, let's just consistently put the bat on the ball and get to first base, because you haven't been doing that as of late. So I'm kind of feeling like McCarthy, maybe let's say in a Chicago type situation where you have a team that, when was the last time they won 7 games? When was the last time he did? Like, I'm just looking at realistic marriages here where there's something to gain for both, even if it isn't the ultimate prize. And I kind of feel like that's where McCarthy would be in a Chicago type situation. I think he can kind of calm that down. Doug Peterson is available. Maybe he could do in Chicago what he couldn't do in Jacksonville. Like we say, just because he couldn't do it with Sunshine doesn't mean that it can no longer be done for him. We've seen him do it at several other stops. I'm just saying, for some of these teams, sometimes you want to go the young, shiny toy, but a lot of times going with Old Faithful puts you in a better position to at least become regular, because right now you're hard.
It's a lateral move at best. I mean, if he comes in that division, he's the fourth best coach in the division. He's not a better coach than Dan Kemp. He's not a better coach than my guy with Green Bay or the Vikings at this point, McCarthy. He comes in, he's still not I mean, it's a lateral move. If you go to Jacksonville, you go from Peterson to McCarthy.
It's a lateral for McCarthy. It would be a lateral move.
It'd be a lateral move for the organization to bring in a McCarthy.
I don't see that. So you mean to tell me that you feel that Matt Eberflus is on the same level as McCarthy? Is that what we're saying? The dude that was winning double digit games every year and has a Super Bowl to his credit is Eberflus.
Was winning double digit games everywhere. You had a Nagy who won a Super Bowl or whatever. It was an OC in Kansas City.
Who's winning games in Dallas until everybody got hurt this year?
Again, the organization bought in Nagy. He came from a winning place. You see what he did? Got shit back out of there.
What did Nagy win himself? McCarthy won himself in Green Bay and Dallas.
When was in Green Bay? When was that?
What you mean when?
What year was that?
With Aaron Rodgers. What I'm going to think about a different coach.
What year was that?
Whenever he was there. What do you mean what year it was? What year did Eberflus ever win anything for it to be lateral?
Let's bring back Joe Gibbs. Why don't we?
So I think so. A couple things, right? I think we can all agree that Eberflus is so bad that McCarthy would be an upgrade. Because,
thank you. That's all I'm saying.
But what I will also say is Peterson would make more sense in Chicago than McCarthy, only because as bad as it goes back to what I've said earlier in other shows, as bad as Jacksonville was this year, and they were bad, Jacksonville was 9-8 the last 2 years under Peterson in Jacksonville prior to this debacle. So, and I don't think anyone would say 9-8 is an awful season. So now maybe not the expectations people want, that's different, but that's no one in the NFL goes 9-8 and someone says, well, that's an awful season. So I think Peterson, if you gave him the right situation, would make a lot of sense. The guy can coach in the NFL, even though it didn't look like it the last year in Jacksonville. But I do think he's a solid coach. McCarthy, here's the thing. He's won games in Green Bay a decade ago. He's won games in Dallas for sure. And I do see your point, Zay, about in a situation where there's not a lot of expectations, he would be the kind of guy. I equate it to Bickerstaff of the Cavs, right? In NBA. The guy, if you need to take a team from garbage to mediocre respectability, Bickerstaff's the guy for the Cavs, just like he's doing in Detroit. I know this is not a basketball show.
No. You make sense.
But the analogy fits here. He's done a respectable job with the Pistons of making them from a doormat to respectability. But look, when the Cavs got rid of Bickerstaff and they got a new coach, all of a sudden the Cavs turned into a great team with the same talent they've had. It's the same thing. I think if you give him less expectations, he's the right guy.
I 100% agree with you. So some people just have to start the journey before they start looking for the pot of gold.
I almost want to stop the show. Did you hear that, Vander? He agrees with me. I'm done. See you.
No, you're right. I mean, like, when you're dumpster juice, when you can just make it out of the trash can, you're a happy camper. That's all I'm saying. Right now, those fans for all of those teams are looking at drinking dumpster juice every single week. If we can just make it out of the trash can and show some progress, we can worry about the guy that's going to take us into the promise. Can we just find Moses right now? We can figure out who's going to take us into the promised land later.
One more point. I'm going to turn it over for Vander for the last word on this. But one last point. Here's my only concern about McCarthy in terms of a head coaching prospect. If we look at the candidates out there, I feel like given the number of openings and given the quality of the candidate pool, I can't envision a path where somebody rational looks at the coaching field and candidates and would choose McCarthy over any one of these other viable candidates. That's my own opinion. There's better candidates out there than he is.
I can see that somewhat. Some of these guys, we just don't know. Like, some of these teams have hired the wrong guy so many times that they can't afford to go with the guy they don't know. If I know that this guy can at least make me mediocre and I'm way less than that right now, some GMs can't afford to get it wrong. Mediocre will save your job for the next 4 years, some of these dudes. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's... Poles in Chicago, he can take the chance on one of these rookies. Maybe he knocks it out the park. But if he doesn't, he doesn't have a job. If you get McCarthy or if you get Doug Peterson, you will have a job 3 years from now. That's how I'm looking at it. I can fix some of the moving pieces and all that kind of good stuff. And awesome. I just want to be able to keep my job after this year if I'm a GM for one of these teams. If we've seen nothing else, the GMs that bring in a new regime are 1 or 2 years away from not having a regime. The only reason they kept you around is because the last regime you probably didn't choose, or you chose when you didn't know as much as you know today. So with my GM goggles on, who can I guarantee won't get me fired in the next 2 years because I don't see them winning less games than we've won thus far? And I don't care what team we're talking about. If we're talking about the Saints, the Jets, Chicago, whomever, Jacksonville, whoever is looking for a coach. If you hire, obviously Doug Peterson wouldn't go to Jacksonville, and obviously McCarthy wouldn't go to Dallas. But if you hired one of these guys, you're going to win more games than you won this year. I don't see McCarthy taking any one of these teams backwards. I don't see Doug Peterson taking any one of these teams back. That's just it for some. Get losing less games is moving forward. I don't know what you don't see about. Everybody's not going to be Washington. It ain't going to be a 1 year bottom of the barrel to the playoff ride for most teams. It don't work like that.
Listen, you're spinning your tires. That's all you're doing hiring McCarthy. He's living off an old Super Bowl that he won back in 2000.
He won double-digit games in Dallas.
And do what? And go where?
What you mean and do what? He Chicago lost, won four games.
He lost where?
And six more wins.
He lost where?
And what? That's primary? Doubling up your current win total. That's nothing?
You're not
really
spinning your tires, man. He came in, they got rid of Kellen Moore. He came in, he started calling the plays, and the offense went down. Am I right about that?
They won double budget games.
Listen, McCarthy is a glorified Nathaniel Hackett. There you go. He won off the back of Aaron Rodgers, and now he's so great, and he's just mastermind.
He ain't got Aaron Rodgers no more, and he still won double digit games.
He hasn't won zilch since he lost Rodgers. What has he won?
Has he won more than Chicago? Has he won more than the Jets?
Guess
more than New Orleans?
No. In the division he was in, I mean, congratulations. He was in division with the Giants and the Commanders, who wasn't that great. And the only competition we had was the Eagles at one point. So congratulations.
So he don't get no credit for what he did with Dallas or with Green Bay, is what we're saying.
He's a glorified Nathaniel Hackett. He got a Super Bowl off the back of Aaron Rodgers 14 years ago.
Forget the Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about what he did in Dallas. He won double digits, except this year when everybody was hurt.
When he started calling the plays.
They won double digits. How many times I got to say it?
The offense went down. They went from a top three offense.
They won double digits.
They went from a top
the offense in Chicago can't go down.
They went from a top three offensive in the league to
did he win? Did he win? Did he win?
Am I right or wrong?
So you're saying they should hire Kellen Moore? Is that what we're saying?
I think they're all the same to me.
Okay then. So you can't have it both ways.
No, I'm just telling you, Mike McCarthy is a better OC. Let him be an OC somewhere.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, to be honest with you. All I'm saying is if he was the head coach of Chicago, they would win more games than they won with Matt Eberflus. Are you arguing that point or are you arguing something else?
If they won one more game, whoop-de-doo.
One more game? When has he ever won five games in the season on any team?
Who is Mike McCarthy, though? Yeah, like he's somebody special.
He's not. I've literally said he's not.
Okay.
I said he would make you mediocre, and currently you're dumpster juice. Mediocre would be an improvement. What? I feel like we're having two completely different conversations right now.
The Bears are maybe a season away from having a decent record. Like maybe a season or two ago, they won how many games? So it's not like it's like far off. The teams in their division just got better. Detroit got better. Minnesota got better. The Packers have gotten better. The teams just around them have gotten better. That's all.
So, in your opinion, coaching doesn't matter at all. Eberflus could have stayed there, and that's still going to win more games than
some coaches get. They gassed up, and they keep living off some old name that they had or some old thing. Nathaniel Hackett is the perfect example of that, getting all these. He is, because he get job after job.
Nathaniel Hackett never won anything.
So, just going back to the Bears real quick, right? So here's my issue with the McCarthy thing. Do I think he'd win more than five games that they won this year? That's such a low bar to clear. I'm sure he'd exceed five. But here's the thing, right? Going back to your GM goggles. If I'm the GM of the Bears, and we can debate how much he decision making the GM had, all right? I'm going to sidebar them. But under his watch, they effed up the number one pick taking Caleb Williams. And then they kept Eberflus a year longer than they should have when he all knew he should have been fired. And everyone talked. So I guess my question is, if you hire McCarthy, who is a retread coach who has had regular season success in both of his stops. Is that enough to sell to your fan base and excite your fan base with your franchise quarterback that you just drafted last year? In my eyes, there's no way I could sell that to the fan base and not look like an asset. Now, there's no way of selling that, and no one would get excited about that. You're like, great, I have somebody who wins in the regular season, granted, more than a guy who can't probably spell his name very often in Eberflus. Like, what is our real goal? Yes, he'd be better than five wins, but they'd still be the fourth place team in the division every year because the other three teams are wiping the floor with them.
I just don't think that Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, or some of these other names that are out there are going to end up working out better than the records that you've seen McCarthy produce. That's all I'm saying. But
Doug Peterson would be a huge upgrade.
Okay, that's cool too. I'm not mad at that. I actually brought up the premise of him going there. But all I'm saying is I don't believe that the shiny new toy always works out the best. Bring in someone who can kind of calm down the situation and give you a guaranteed bump. I'm on board with Peterson. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's a McCarthy or bust situation. What I'm saying is if they went with either one of those retreads, they're going to be in a better situation than going with something, a completely unknown commodity. I would rather know that I'm going to be mediocre than find out that I'm still going to be trash. Like maybe you knock it out of the park and you get yourself, you know, a coach like the Detroit coach, or you get yourself, well, actually, even the coach out in Washington, he had already been the head coach of Atlanta and the DC of the Cowboys. So, like, it's not very often that very many coaches do something major at their first stop. They normally mess up their first stop, take a step back somewhere else, and then come back and really learn from their mistakes. So I don't know if I'm some of these GMs, if I'm going to be able to make it through another coach firing. So give me a guy that can stabilize us, and then I can stand on that record as the reason that I should still keep my job, even if we replace this guy, to find someone that can get us to Super Bowl now that they've gotten us to the, well, at least we're not losing anymore and we're, you know, 10. Make Pittsburgh, for instance, if I can get a Tomlin who wins 10 games per season on average, I can sell that. What's the difference between McCarthy and Tomlin? They win about the same amount of games. They both got the one Super Bowl. What's the difference? You got a guy that can hold it in the role for you. I think that's what Tomlin gives you. I think that's what Peterson will give you. I think that's what McCarthy will give you. Give me a hold it in the role guy, but we're in such turmoil right now. That's all I'm saying. And I think I have a sneaky suspicion that Chicago was the team that called Pittsburgh to ask about a trade. I cannot confirm or deny that, but that would have been one of the smartest phone calls that Ryan Poles has made as of late to see if he can get. But again, a holding in the role guy, you aren't reaching the highest of the highs, but it's hard to fire you or me because you're nowhere near the lowest of the lows. That's what I would be looking for if I'm one of these teams. BK, you were about to say something?
Yeah, just going back to Tomlin, right? And this is a wild thing. If it wasn't the Steelers and how loyal they are to their coaching, I can't believe they're not moving on from Tomlin. And here's why. You have a team that's won 6 NFL World Championships. If you go back to 2011, and we all know I'm a numbers guy, right? Since 2011, you know how many playoff games the Steelers have won in 14 years? 3. And 2 of them were in 2016. So it's great that you make the playoffs, but you don't do crap when you get there. And look, I've heard people say, well, I've had to go through Brady and Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar and Peyton Manning and
without a quarterback, without them having a quarterback.
And look, I understand that it's hard to go through all those great all-time greats and deal with that. So that's not a Tomlin thing. But here's the thing. You win outside of 2016, and I'll even give them those two. In 13 years, you've won three playoff games despite making it almost every year. Like, where is that okay? I mean, maybe the Giants would be thrilled with that because they don't even can't even spell playoffs there anymore. It's been so long. But that's a problem.
BK, if you think about it, BK, really only the teams that you just named with those other quarterbacks have a better record than them. So, like, and those coaches aren't going anywhere. So you're kind of stuck in no man's land.
I think if I'm the Steelers, right, if I'm looking at this objectively, I'm saying, you know what? Tomlin's been great for this organization. He's been a great leader. He's a first-class guy. He has accountability. He consistently gets us to the playoffs. He wins. He has a winning season every year that he's been there, 18 consecutive years or whatever. But I'm not even a Tomlin thing. I believe this in sports. And I think it was the end of Belichick, besides losing Brady. I think the other thing that hurt him as well is you can be at a job too long and your voice doesn't resonate anymore with the players. You need someone else saying the message. I think the message has gone stale, which is why they haven't won a game in 5 weeks. That's part of the issue. The schedule's tough. You played great teams. You don't have a quarterback. I've said that all year. They have two mediocre quarterbacks that both don't belong there. That quarterback's not Tomlin's fault. That's a GM. The GM brought in those quarterbacks who can't play. I've been saying Wilson and Fields couldn't play all year, and I'm right. They can't play. That's not Tomlin's fault, but you still need a fresh voice. 14 years tells me you need a fresh voice.
Hey, the other thing that Tomlin can't help is that the GM brought in Arthur Smith. So that's an issue as well. Right. All I know is that there are only a certain amount of wins that can be had. And there's certain teams that have certain coach and quarterback tandems that are going to get X amount of wins. So you kind of got to pick yours up where you can. And there aren't many guys that have gotten more wins out of the top guys, outside of the Andy Reid's of the world and the Bill Belichick when that was going on. There aren't too many guys that are winning more games than a McCarthy.
And one last thing, both of you guys, just so that I don't want people, I'm going to steal something you say, Zay. Don't hear what I'm not saying here. Tomlin is a terrific coach.
Yeah.
He would be an instant class, credible, bona fide, great hire for any of these teams looking for a coach. It's not me railing on Tomlin or diminishing or disrespecting how great he's been for so long. I just think there's a time at every level where you need a fresh voice. It's time for the team and it's time for him to start a journey somewhere else. That's my point.
Not mad at that take it all, BK. Not mad at that take it all. One guy actually has a job. That's Mike Vrabel. He's the new head coach of the New England Patriots. They're talking about possibly bringing Josh McDaniels back as being the OC. Nothing solidified with that yet, but that's some of the talks. I got to be honest with you guys. Of all the coaches that are out there right now, this is the guy that I wanted us to get, and I'm glad we went and got him because at the end of the day, you got a guy who was a coach of the year, who brought a team with a similar amount of talent, similar. New England doesn't have a A.J. Brown, obviously. You know, not too many teams do. Ramondre Stevenson is a good back when he's healthy. He's no King Henry. But I believe that the cachet that Mike Vrabel brings with him, and This is one of the biggest things that people don't really take into account about NFL. We always think about what happens with recruiting in college. I don't think we look at the importance of being able to recruit in the NFL as much as we do in college. There are going to be some guys who have already played for him and guys who are talking to other guys about their experience with playing with him. This was one of the guys that when he was let go, several guys in the locker room were willing to stand up and say, hey, what's really going on here? If not him, then who? I didn't hear anyone say anything like that from the New England locker room about Jerod Mayo being let go in comparison. So he's a New England guy. He's familiar with the culture. We know that he can coach, especially on the defensive side of the ball. If he gets a guy that can bring May along, I think this can be a huge step in the right direction. Never going to be the Patriots of old. Just someone's never going to happen. But to be a team that is at least fighting for a playoff spot yearly, if you're not one of the upper echelons that can just be guaranteed a playoff spot yearly, that's where you want to be. At least let me be fighting for wild card weekend with the coin flip. And maybe I'll turn into a Texans or Rams type situation or Washington type scenario. The only thing you can do is hope for the best in those situations. But do either one of you feel like Vrabel wasn't the guy of the guys available? And how do you feel about the talks of Josh McDaniels possibly being the OC? Nothing there on ironclad yet. BK, why don't you go ahead and start us up?
I like the hire. It makes sense. He's had success in the NFL. He knows the organization really well. He'll be respected in the locker room. McDaniels makes sense there, given his history and success there. I think as an offensive coordinator, he'll do a decent job with bringing May along. My only thing is if it were me, while I love the Vrabel hire, and I don't know what the answer would be, but I just feel like there's a better, I would like a more innovative, maybe offensive mind to bring May along than McDaniels, only because I've seen the story there a couple times. And to be honest, McDaniels to me really hasn't had a lot of success in the NFL other than Brady's been great. I mean, look, I could have coached Tom Brady. So that's not really like McDaniels doesn't get credit because he has the greatest quarterback of all time.
He got Matt Castle to 11 wins. And Matt Castle did nothing else, nowhere else.
But 1 year. And with
he only got to start 1 year. I mean, that was the only year that he...
A loaded roster.
No, he didn't.
The Patriots were a playoff team every year there. They went to the conference championship 15 times in 17 years.
But you just said that was because of Tom Brady. Which one is it? Is it the team or Tom?
It's still the same roster.
So it wasn't Tom.
So let me get this straight. McDaniels has been a lousy head coach both places. Yep. Hold on. Let me finish. He's been a lousy head coach. And because he's had the greatest quarterback of all time that I could have coached, because I wouldn't have had to do anything, we're to give him credit because of one season? I'm confused.
Well, I can't take credit away from him because of who he... When he has been an OC... He's done his job. I don't care who was at the helm, is all I'm saying. And his system has worked with lesser wide receivers, which is what we have right now. Now, I'll say my saying again. Don't hear what I'm not saying. He's not at the top of my list of OCs. I'm just telling you that there have been talks that he may be in the mix as far as OC is concerned. Well, and then the other question I have to ask myself is, who's currently available that's better than him? Unless it's maybe a Doug Peterson that doesn't get picked up as a head coach somewhere, some some situation like that when I can get my quote unquote QB whisperer without him having to be the head coach, that would be optimal. I would love to have a Doug Peterson or a really, there's nobody else I can trust to specifically bring the quarterback along other than Doug Peterson and McCarthy. And I don't trust McCarthy as much as I do Peterson. So between McCarthy, Peterson, and McDaniels, like you think the other options would be a better OC? I think they're pretty close.
Anybody would be an upgrade.
Okay.
And to be honest, Peterson's not an option because he's going to take one of those jobs. There's no way.
You think so?
There's no way there's six openings and he doesn't get one of them.
I don't know. I mean, if you get, well, Ben Johnson's going to get one. Can we agree?
I think for Ben Johnson's qualified, and I love what he's done, Mike. But to me, I feel like he's a very selective guy. It's going to have to be an organization that's the right fit for him. He would be picking the organization more than they would be picking him.
I hear you on that. But the guys that are picking, unless somebody retires, you're never going to have the perfect situation. You're going to a team that somebody else couldn't make a shape. So I don't know how long he's going to wait around to think in the perfect situation. Maybe he's waiting for Andy Reid to retire or something. I don't know. But you're never going to have a quote-unquote good situation or more advantageous situation than some of the situations you got out here right now.
Let me give you a hypothetical.
Okay.
Sirianni has struggled with the locker room in Philadelphia.
Okay.
The Eagles, from a roster standpoint, I feel like has, if not the best, one of the best rosters in the NFL.
I can see that.
Who's to say that what if he waits for a situation where Sirianni leaves and he takes that job? Or Andy Reid's, 70? He's not coaching forever. What if he takes over the Chiefs and Mahomes? I'm not saying that he's getting those jobs, but I'm just saying those would be the kind of situations where he could handpick and wait a year or two and take those jobs versus going to a dumpster fire. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you, but I can only speculate currently on what's available. So if you're telling me that you're putting yourself out there right now and saying that you're available to be a head coach, I can't say I'm going to give you the job of someone who hasn't been fired yet. For all we know, Sirianni may go win another Super Bowl this year. I mean, and yes, absolutely the Eagles will be a better job. Absolutely Kansas City will be a better job. That's a dream job for anybody. But all I'm saying is, if you're just going to stick around in Detroit until the perfect situation comes along, say that. Why are you going on all these interviews just for the sake of doing it? Just say, I'm going to stick around here until the perfect setup comes along and go with that. That's all I'm saying. I can't prognosticate on what jobs may or may not be available because someone will get fired or retire in 2 or 3 years, or whatever the case may be. I'm looking at what's out there right now.
One last thing before we go to Vander, because I can't wait to hear what he says. I want to hear it. But I know this is a college football practice that's been done a few times. Florida State, obviously, Bobby Bowden did it. It's happened other places as well. Again, one last hypothetical. Andy Reid's, rounding third, heading home in his coaching career, right? What if the Chiefs came to Ben Johnson and said, hey, we're going to make you head coach in waiting?
I'll take that job. I'll go be the OC in Kansas City, knowing that that'll be my job when Andy Reid sign me up today, right now, yesterday. Where's the contract? Absolutely. Yes, sir. 100% on board. Matter of fact, if I'm any of these coaches and I can get that kind of a deal, sign me up right now, because I know we're going to win with Patty for sure. And he ain't going nowhere for another 15 years. So sign me up. Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised that, well, Nagy might be doing that right now, actually. Who knows? What you got, Vander?
I mean, going back to Vrabel, I personally like Vrabel. But again, what are we going to get here? I mean, 6 seasons with the Titans, he won 54 games. So if you do the math on that, what, 9 games a season? So, I mean,
that's improvement for the Patriots right now.
And then, I mean, now you're talking about possibly bringing back in McDaniel. And this is like your grandma still thinking it's cool to heat the food up in the oven, right? We got the microwave right here. We can click it for 1 minute, warm the food up. But she wanna put the oven on 350 and let that oven warm and then put the food in there and just let it sit. And it takes 30 minutes for the food to warm up for you to eat. It's like you just keep, this thing is over. This Patriots dream and all these guys do, it's over. It's over. Time is gone. Bill is not there anymore. I don't want to see Charlie Weiss. I don't want to see Brian Billick or whoever. I don't want to see any of these old guys come back in the fold and do anything because that is over. Blow it up. Try something different. Try something new. And that's what it is. I mean, Vrabel, like I said, I like him as a person. I think he'd be a better deep coordinator. But he hasn't really shown that he can hire the right OC in Tennessee. He squandered some seasons, I think, with a really good team that he had. And now you got Drake May, who was what? Ryan Tannehill 2.0. I mean, he's dealing with the same thing.
Probably. Probably.
What is he going to do? What is he going to do? He's going
to
go
up. We just need Drake May to not be the reason that we lose. That would be an upgrade over everything we've had since Tom Brady.
And if you watch the last game of the season, the kid that was sitting from Tennessee,
Joe Milton.
You know what I'm saying? He throwing fastballs out there. You know what I'm saying? So
you think we might have an RG3 Kirk Cousins situation?
Not so much because of where May got drafted and where he got drafted. So May
look at where RG3 got drafted.
He got drafted early. He's the Heisman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, those guys went like 1 and 2. Like they got those like back to back picks. I mean, Milton was a late pick. Right,
I want to say Kirk Cousins was maybe like a third round pick or something like that.
That's pretty early, folks. That's pretty deep. That's pretty early. That's a day, you know what I mean? But Milton was late. He was a graduate, so I don't think it's quite that is what I'm saying. But like I said, one thing Vrabel can do, he can beat Mahomes. Like he has the, I don't know what it is, but he know the recipe. He give Mahomes fits. But other than that, I mean, it is what it is. I don't see nothing special about the hire. I thought they was going to hire him last year, actually. I was surprised Mill got the job last year. I thought it was Vrabel's job to get last year. So they're just a year later on that particular hire. And this is my question. How long do you give this guy? Because if you're going to chop Mayo in 1 year, how long do you give Vrabel? Now, this is the part I don't know if it's going to be fair or not. Because what if Vrabel going in and wins 5 games next year?
Well, I don't think it was the win total that got Mayo fired as much as it was some of the talks that were coming out of the locker room, some of the practices that were made. I've seen so much as players indicating that they felt like he had no clue what he was doing. 1 week the philosophy was going left, and the very next week the philosophy was going right. He was just throwing it up against the wall and hoping that it was sticking. That came from a player. I didn't hear any of that out of Tennessee when Vrabel got let go. And most pundits and even we were saying, where did this come from? But he was just coach of the year.
I was surprised he got fired at Tennessee that last year because he had a win. Now, he had 2 losing seasons the season before, but he did have a winning season the year he got let go. I think he won like 12 games. But, I mean, we'll see. I don't think it doesn't move the needle.
Of all the coaches currently available, I think he can be counted on the most. I won't say he's the best because there's some guys that Maybe Aaron Glenn or Ben Johnson comes out the woodworks and they just, they're the next whoever.
Aaron Glenn.
But as far as the guys that are singing,
Aaron Glenn is overrated. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. But I'm just saying, of the guys that are currently available, I feel like Vrabel was the one that you can count on the most to be what he has been. And being what he has been will be okay for New England, right?
I think there are two better options out there.
Who's that?
Doug Peterson and Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's definitely a better option than Vrabel.
I don't know about that.
Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Absolutely.
I would argue with Vrabel if he, it most, especially towards the end, Vrabel did less with more. To Vander's point, he should have done better. And had he done better, he would have kept the job longer. I think that he, unfortunately,
he did better than Pete Carroll.
Who?
No.
Pete Vrabel.
Champion. Huh? Vrabel could.
No. Wait a minute. Obviously, Pete Carroll won a championship. I'm not talking about that year, obviously. Hell, y'all was just talking about two other dudes that you were crapping on his name, and they won the championship. But now, all of a sudden, the championship is the gold standard. But when I brought up McCarthy, the championship didn't mean a daggone thing. So I'm just saying. But at any rate,
Hold on. We're not comparing Pete Carroll to Mike McCarthy. Pete Carroll is a repeated winner. He's been there more than once.
No. What I'm saying is when BK said he won a championship, if that's the bar we're going with, so did McCarthy. That's all I'm saying.
No. But you compare apples to oranges. We're talking about Vrabel.
I'm talking about championships.
We're talking about
Vrabel and Carroll. Vrabel's never won anything.
Right.
So what was Pete Carroll's record? I'm not looking at the golden years. Hell, Bill Belichick would have never got fired if we're only looking at the golden years. What was Pete Carroll's record when he got fired?
Nobody's record's gonna be good when they get fired.
Okay, well, so neither was Vrabel's. If we're only looking at their best years, then no coach would ever get fired.
Hold on, but let's be clear about this, right? Football is results oriented business. Pete
right, right.
The national title in college and built a juggernaut.
Right.
He built a terrific decade run in Seattle that won. Vrabel hasn't built anything of any substance at any level.
And yet both of them got fired. So all those accolades you just piled on Pete Carroll, the team that he created all those accolades for was like, it's time for you to go. That's all I'm saying.
The reason why Carroll got fired is he put pressure on the front office and they said, see you. So, part of the Carroll thing is it goes back to the point where eventually your voice runs stale, no matter who you are, where you are. Carroll was there so long he tried to play the power card with the front office and lost.
Good.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not poo-pooing the Vrabel hire. I think he's a solid candidate and a solid coach. But you asked me specifically, is there a better option? I mean, two that have performed better in the NFL. They have factually been better in the NFL than Vrabel.
I don't think being better in the past necessarily makes you best for now or in the future.
But the best predictor of the future is what's happened in the past.
Not necessarily. When the style of a Pete Carroll, I don't think can be recreated or will be sustainable in today's NFL. If you put together a Legion of Boom in New England, I don't see you beating Josh Allen. I don't even necessarily see you being better than Miami. When everyone's healthy, you're in the same conference as Mahomes as well, and Joe Burrow. That style of play, where as long as we put up 18 points and play really good defense, we'll win. That's not working anymore. No one's being successful with that. You got to be able to put up points, and I don't know him to be able to use a different system. That's one of the reasons I feel like Seattle let him go. he wanted to keep that same system and it wasn't working anymore. It just wasn't. And we don't have the pieces for that. It would take him 3 years just to get his guys. And he's what, 75?
I don't know.
That's we're going to set up a progression plan for a guy that's going to be 80 by the time the plan works.
We're not.
We still don't have a good GM. Elliott Wolf sucks at drafting, just so we're on the same page.
Why are we comparing Pete Carroll to Vrabel? Why are we doing this? Why is this even a
comment? Because we're asking, my question was, who would be the best right now of the current candidates? And BK said that he thought that Pete Carroll would be a better candidate today.
Well, he was saying Pete Carroll was a better candidate. You said Vrabel was.
I'm talking about today. When Vrabel got hired, was he the better candidate than Pete Carroll?
No.
So, okay, I disagree. I think Pete Carroll, I don't think that.
What are you going off of?
I'm basing it on the fact that I've only seen him win in the NFL with one style of football.
What are you talking about? You can say that about any coach about a style of football.
What I'm saying is his style of football, we don't have the guys for right now. We don't have a legion of boom.
So y'all have the style for Vrabel's style. Y'all have the guys for Vrabel's style.
For what he had in Tennessee, we're closer to that team than we are the Legion of Boom.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we are.
You don't have an all-pro Derrick Henry at running back. You don't have
We don't need an all-pro Derrick Henry.
Like hell you don't. You don't.
We don't.
Okay.
It ain't but one of him in the lead today. Okay. Good luck trying to find another Derrick Henry.
Good luck.
If you don't have Henry and you don't have A.J. Brown, then how is the team
right?
No, I agree with the AJ Brown call as well. But that's why I'm saying the Elliott Wolf
defenses that he had.
Say again.
Do you know some of those defenses that Vrabel had at Tennessee?
I believe that our defense can look as good as what he had them looking at Tennessee.
No.
Our defense, we're not lacking very many pieces to be the same defense when we were number five just a year and a half ago. Replacing Judon, that's really the only person that we're replacing. And we got the same defense that we had year before last, as far as personnel is concerned. With that being said, we are at an hour. We do want to get through our surprises of the weekend. We had Texans over Los Angeles Chargers, 32-12. We had the Eagles over Green Bay, 22-10. We had the Los Angeles Rams over Minnesota, 27-9. Baltimore over Pitt, 28-14. Buffalo, 31. Denver, 7. Washington over Tampa Bay with the closest game of 23-20. What game surprised you? What game, I would say, surprised you the least? How did we feel about the weekend? Vander, start us up. If there's any, you don't have to speak on all of them, but speak on whichever one you choose to.
No surprises per se. I mean, I did thought the Chargers would probably win. But other than that, I mean, I'm not surprised. I picked the Commanders to win and the Rams beat.
What about Washington? No surprise there?
No, I picked the Commanders to beat the Bucks. And then you got, LA, Minnesota, not really surprised. Eagles game. There's no surprises for me. I mean, the biggest one, like I said, I thought the Chargers would play better against Houston because Houston hasn't been playing very well the latter part of the season. I mean, Stroud hasn't been playing well all season, in my opinion. So I did thought that Harbaugh figured that out. But other than that, No surprises for me. Everything else pretty much is on board.
I feel like the Texans are making a huge name for themselves. Rookie quarterback and coach, now both in sophomore year, winning a playoff game both years. I don't know that has happened ever in the NFL. That particular pairing and outcome, as far as the Eagles and Green Bay were concerned, I don't know if it's Green Bay's inexperience or if it's something else, but they just didn't show up. They had a ton of injuries, though. They really had a ton of injuries. So I know it's supposed to be next man up, but when your top three wide receivers are all gone, that's kind of difficult to get over. Rams over Minnesota, that one. So, BK, you know I'm all about conspiracy theories. There's two storylines that are huge this year. Come playoff time. That's lost. That's all of America behind LA due to the tragedies that's going on there with the fires. Mm. And that's the three-peat with Kansas City. That's the two. That's humongous storylines, both sides, right? Washington, they finally gotten to the playoffs and won a playoff game. It's been 20 years since Dan Snyder did anything. In the year that he leaves, it feels like a curse has been lifted. Great storyline, but I don't see it having to go much further for it to be as huge as it already is. The two biggest storylines, and I'm not saying that the Rams are going to make it to the Super Bowl and win it, but the two biggest storylines are America backing the Rams and being able to put something on Mahomes' resume that isn't on any other quarterback ever in the history of the NFL. And this guy's going to be playing for a ton more years. And if he can add something to his resume that no other quarterback can ever say that they've done, and most likely won't ever say that they've done, well, now he has something to compare himself to a Tom Brady. Because maybe he didn't have the you end up in a, don't hear what I'm not saying, people, especially you two. Calm down. I'm telling you, calm down before I say it. I'm not saying he's Jordan, but people don't say Jordan won the most championships. They say he won every time he got there, right? That's going to be a little bit more difficult in football. But when you can get a three-peat and nobody has ever done it, the same way nobody has ever won every time they got to a championship, when you're talking about Jordan, he's putting things on his resume that are likely to never be done, even if someone else goes out and does what Tom Brady did and wins seven. Who else is going to win three in a row? So that's what I'm saying. That's the two biggest storylines. And if you know, like I know, the NFL is turning into the WWE. So I look for storylines over talent at this point in the game as far as how the games are going to go. BK, go ahead and round us out with your perspective of what's going on. And I specifically wanted to go with you last because of the comment that I knew that I was going to make just then, and you being the resident Vegas expert. So what are your thoughts? Am I all the way out there? May I have a roundabout point? Or am I spot on? And if I'm remembering correctly, in the summertime, when Mr. BK Wins started to pick people with 700 and 800 odds to be MVP of certain things, could we possibly be running into a situation like that with Matthew Stafford? Obviously, you're not getting no points and no kind of credit if you're going with Kansas City or if you're going with Patrick Mahomes, because that's just the norm. But could we be going into a situation right now based on just storylines? And we kind of know how these things have gone in the past. I think when Katrina came is when New Orleans won.
Yeah.
It was something else that happened. So didn't the New York team win this September 11th year? Didn't the Giants win that year, if I'm not mistaken? So I'm just saying, it may be a conspiracy theory, but I'm just saying it's happened several times before. And that's just kind of what I have going on in my head. Tell me I'm crazy. Tell me I may be on to something. What we got, BK?
Listen, I've heard you say worse things in this show. So
I'll take it.
But that being said, I have a lot of thoughts on this. First, just running through the games, right? I think the storylines make sense. The only game that surprised me was the Chargers. It was the only game that I bet on this weekend that didn't win. That counts the college games. So it was a 7-1 weekend. The one miss was the Charger. And to be honest with you, they say history repeats itself. And the game played out exactly like the Browns playoff game did against Houston 2 years ago, which was The Browns and Texans played a tight game. Flacco came out in the third quarter and threw two pick sixes, and that was the end of the road. Herbert comes out in the second half, throws two awful picks, and that was the end of the road for that. What's crazy is he threw four picks in a game when he only had three interceptions the whole year. That's crazy to me. You can't, but look at the quarterback play in the postseason, right? Herbert played terrible. Jordan Love played terrible. Sam Darnold played terrible. Bo Nix, other than the first drive, didn't play well. You know, so you look at these teams, and quarterback play is a huge problem. And I'll say this about your Rams conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Well, the non-favorites, meaning Kansas City, Detroit, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Philly, and I know that only leaves me three teams, but the most dangerous team left is the Rams. They're red hot. They have a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They have a coach who's won a Super Bowl. They're, if you throw out the meaningless game in the last season against Seattle where it didn't matter, counting the playoffs, the Rams are 8-2 down the stretch. They've gotten healthy. They're physical. They have weapons across the field. And look, I'm just saying, when you look at the Eagles' offense doesn't look scary. Barkley's great. Brown's good. That defense is terrific. But they did suffer a couple injuries on the defensive, especially N'Kobe Dean. That's a big loss. I really wonder what happens with how Hurts plays against a tough Rams team. The game of the weekend will be Buffalo against Baltimore. I think that's the premier matchup. But your point about Kansas City, everyone loves their Swifties. We know that's the big story, the Hollywood Swifties and the three-peat, and obviously the LA story. See what I did there? But for me, I go back to this. A couple people at work asked me, because I know some diehard Vikings fans, what does this game mean for Sam Darnold and his future in Minnesota? Vander pointed out how dangerous Washington's going to be moving forward with a rookie quarterback in cap space, and look how fun they are, and everyone's going to want to play there. Counting this win, they're 13-5. They're playing with house money against a banged-up defense on the road. And look, the Lions aren't used to being this good. Last year they were good, but prior to that, they've been a whatever for 15 years. And I'm not saying Washington has experience, but you have a team that has no pressure on Washington to go to against a rusty Detroit team who's not used to being there against a banged-up defense. That's going to be a fun place to play for Washington moving forward. I say that to, why would BK say this? Go back to Minnesota. I have a great coaching staff in Minnesota. I have a loaded defense there. I have a wide, look at the wideouts in Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson and Aaron Jones running the ball. Sign me up for J.J. McCarthy. Let Darnold get overpaid somewhere else. Darnold was good for five or six games this year, but make no mistake, Darnold was never the reason why they won games. Coaching, defense, skill positions won Minnesota games, not Darnold. He's easily replaceable. Give me McCarthy. Load me up with that rookie cap and all that talent, and I think Minnesota's going to be even better. Because McCarthy's proven he can play quarterback at the collegiate level. He can play action. He can find his weapons. He's a winner. I love what Vikings look like. And that's, I think, the end of the day, my takeaway.
And that pretty much wraps it up for us for today. Make sure you check out the show on Friday, the Gospel Sports Truth Podcast. we'll be digging into what is going on for the weekend, and we'll kind of go from there. Again, make sure you check us out on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's at The Gospel STP, and on Facebook at The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. For this evening, we are done. And remember, good people, always tell the truth.
Go Commanders. And that's the truth.
Go Bucks. I'll let y'all.